again, medical education podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor of the journal, and I have the pleasure today of speaking with you from Edinburgh, where I'm attending the Association for the Study of Medical Education Conference 2013, and by good fortune, I'm able to sit down with Jenny Johnston, who is a GP and clinical teaching fellow at Queen's University in Belfast, and we're going to talk a bit about a paper that she and her colleagues have coming out in the September issue of Medical Education, entitled The View From Over There, Reframing OSCEs Through Standardized Patients' Rater Experience. Welcome, Jenny, to the podcast.
Hi, Kevin. Very nice to be able to meet you in Edinburgh.
You as well. We've got this wonderful recording studio that we're sitting in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully we aren't interrupted too frequently, but you're enjoying the conference so far?
Yes. Yeah, having a great time. Yeah.
Good. And nice. It's a reasonably short jump over here from Ireland.
It's very handy, yes. Yeah. So next to neighbors.
Right. Yeah, so in addition to your clinical work and your teaching activities, I understand you're working on a PhD. Is this project that led to this paper part of your PhD studies?
Yeah, no, this is a separate stream of research. So we're kind of working on trying to create a stream of research around assessment at the minute. My colleague Gary Gorney, my co-author, is responsible for some of the assessments that take place in the medical school. And so he has a natural interest in assessment. And my interest mostly comes from the social constructionist perspective, that the two together, we find that we had something very interesting, which was a slightly different slant or perspective on assessment. So we're in the middle of trying to develop that as a research program, and this is the second paper from that. So
okay, so that dichotomy might mean that the answer to my next question is both, but this is a unique paper in that you're looking at the issues in the context of the OSCE, but it's not really about the utility of the OSCE as a measurement instrument, but rather what it might be illustrating more broadly about student performance?
Or? Yes, I think that there is a lot of value in examining the social processes that happen within assessment, which are often unacknowledged. And I think we have got very entrenched in looking at issues of reliability and validity, which of course are very important. But I think sometimes that allows us to forget that there's all these other things going on, that OSCEs are a huge force for learning, for example, that there are different participants, that the way that you run things maybe affects what the outcome is. So I think that they're a very complex and socially constructed entity, and it's really interesting to get in and look at that. So I think that this piece of work has been a kind of preliminary look at what happens within that core OSCE triad. So when you walk into the OSCE station, there are three main participants. So there is the patient, the examiner, and obviously the student, you know, the candidate who's coming in. And those are the key players, really. So this is our first attempt to look at that. And we started particularly with the patient because we feel that sometimes the patient voice is not particularly well heard in medical education, and particularly in education research. Certainly so far as SPs use an assessment, particularly in the UK, they're very much used as a kind of way to standardize things. You know, it's all about the psychometric agenda, you know, making everything the same. Mm-hmm. And that's really the limit of their role, or it has been until very recently. And I know that's in contrast. I'm not sure what the situation is in Canada, but I know in the US sometimes SPs are actually used as examiners.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have that. But here it's a much less active role, really, where the examiner is still in overall charge of the station. But quite recently, there has been this move towards getting SPs to award a global rating on more humanistic aspects of the candidate's performance. And that's something that we've been doing since about 2010 at Queen's University, which is my institution. So this was almost a bit of evaluation of that as well, and just to see how we're doing and try and look a wee bit closer at what's actually happening in that process and trying to find out what we could learn from that. And turned out that we can learn a lot from that.
Well, and I definitely want to ask you about what you have learned from this. Just before we get to that, maybe a bit more on the context, if I could ask you your comment about the social construction and also how we try to train up SPs to portray a particular standardized role. Was this project about how they experience these clinical interactions generally, or was it sort of post-training and looking at how different individuals might respond in a role that in many ways they're portraying rather than necessarily responding to naturally.
Yes, it's very specific to standardized patients within exams. And standardized patients really being a breed apart, they're really quite different, somewhere in between being a lay person and a professional person. And that was something that really came out, was that they see themselves as occupying quite a unique space, you know, and that was really where they felt that they had a lot of value. A lot of vocational drive came from the idea that they were providing something that was different, that the students weren't going to be getting somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was really important. The SPs are unique. They see themselves not just as patients, but also really strongly as representing patients, you know, protecting patients' interests.
Right.
And that's the absolute root of why they're involved.
Right.
And it's why some of them are prepared to go to, you know, quite humiliating lengths sometimes. And very intimate examinations, things like breast examination. We don't yet do female genital examination, but I know that's something that they do in Cardiff at the minute.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm sure it's going that way. So you have to ask, why would someone do that? Why would they subject themselves to that? And the reason is, it's kind of a feeling that it's for the greater good. The very strong feeling from the SPs is, I want to help patients, people like me, in the future. And the best way that I can do that is by helping these students to become better doctors. So it's very specific. And I would say that it's even more specific than the SP role within education generally, where they're involved in teaching. I think within assessment, sometimes their role is minimized to a greater extent than it is maybe within a teaching session, where they might have a greater opportunity maybe to interact.
Right.
It really is confined mostly to the role of standardization. And then more recently, now to giving a global score on humanistic aspects of consultation skills, and that is typically in the region of about 5 to 10% of the overall mark.
Okay. And with all those factors coming into play, I can imagine your interviews with these individuals could have gone off in any number of different directions.
Oh, absolutely.
You conducted a large number of interviews, which might be part of the reason, but how did you try to constrain what you were talking about for this particular project?
Yes, they're a hugely enthusiastic bunch, and fortunately for us, they love to get involved in research and they love to talk, and that's great. But yes, it was important to try and somewhat guide the conversation to make sure that we're talking about the same thing. But actually, we didn't have too much trouble with that, because the issues that were coming out were clearly the issues that were hugely important, central really, to the SPs, but not really something that anyone had ever asked them about before. So they were dying to get talking about it.
Okay.
And they really valued the opportunity to do that. And they felt really empowered, I think, by taking part in the research, and empowered by the act of reading as well, actually. You know, I think that that really allowed them to enact their sense of vocational identity. You know, it was a real way of feeding back into that and making it a solid thing. So they were kind of proud of the fact that they were able to do that. And the interesting thing was that some of them had already been unofficially providing feedback. The more experienced ones, sometimes the examiner would say, "What did you think of that?" And I'd go, "Well, I think such and such," but it's very informal. So this is a way of formalizing feedback that they were kind of giving anyway. So that was an interesting aspect of it as well. But yes, they were very keen to have their thoughts known.
Right, right. And as a way of sharing some examples of the sorts of things that you were hearing from them with our listeners, what sorts of things were they keenly speaking about, and then what themes did you end up extracting from that?
Well, I think the thing that they really, really focused on was the active relationship building within an OSCE station. So within that triad, the focus for SPs was very much on their relationship with the student. And they saw that student as a doctor, essentially. Maybe a little bit of leeway given for the kind of lower years, but most of the interviews were done around the fourth year OSCE, so year four of the 5-year curriculum, although the SPs do work through all the different years in all the different OSCEs. But basically what they were saying is, it's time these people were acting as doctors. You know, they're not students
right.
anymore. We need them to behave as if they're doctors.
Right.
I'm behaving as a patient. I'm taking on board the feelings of a patient and undergoing quite a bit of discomfort sometimes, you know, repeated examination or having to go through a psychiatric history again and again that might be a little bit distressing. So I'm doing that, and it's part of the contract that you should be behaving like a doctor and you should be accepting that doctor role. And the students sometimes didn't quite appreciate that. There was a real mismatch of agenda because the students, of course, were targeting the examiner, and that was the relationship that they were all about. Sometimes, I even say often. Having been an examiner myself, I'm hugely familiar with that situation where the student comes in and it's very much, you know, tick box approach. You can sort of see them going through the motions. Have I said this? Have I said this? Have I said this? And they're not really, you know, the classic example is, you know, the SP says something like, yeah, my husband died recently. And the student goes, great, let's move on, you know.
Right.
So that was something that I really recognised, but what I wasn't prepared for was the strength of the SP's emotional response to that, and they felt really dehumanised by it. You know, they really felt, we are making all this effort and it's not being reciprocated, you know. Mm-hmm. You feel very strongly about this. So the patient experience then became a huge part of their rating, and because of that, because of the patient experience, that also led to them actually rating in a way that we hadn't expected, which was that they were quite holistic. In other words, they didn't just focus on what we would consider to be humanistic aspects, but they also took into account technical skill. And that, I think, is one of the most interesting findings, because I think if you were looking at that from a purely psychometric perspective, you might say, well, that's a real problem. You know, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We better train them again. But in fact, I mean, they knew perfectly well what they were supposed to be doing. The instruction that they were given was, would you come back and see this person again?
Right.
And in order to think about that, they had to think about their overall experience, and they couldn't chop that up into little bits or reduce it down to that level. And examination and technical skill and having confidence in somebody's technical performance were just completely inextricable parts of the patient experience. And so they couldn't help but include that to a certain extent. So they also marked holistically as a result of their patient experience. So that was all part of the reading.
Right, so. Right. Well, and it sounds as though it really epitomizes in many ways what we're trying to accomplish with the priorities of medical education, and that you're pushing knowledge forward in terms of how the social construction occurs and these interactions, mm-hmm. while at the same time it sounds like there's some fairly practical implications arising from the work.
Yeah,
and so I wonder if I could just ask you to tell our listeners what you think to be the central take-home message on either side or both.
Yeah, I think for me, well, the big question is, what are we going to do next? Because I think, you know, there's a lot more research needs to be done in this field. But I think really for me, there are two very major issues arising from this. What I would really like is to see our research and other researchers who are working in kind of similar ways, pushing the discourse, you know, making people a little bit uncomfortable and saying, can we move thinking on, you know, and particularly in two ways. And one is in terms of the use of patients. And I think that our conception of what patients' role is very different from how patients conceptualize themselves. And what you're seeing coming through here are a lot of issues of kind of agency, you know, and power gradients, and the fact that as clinicians and faculty, we're very much in charge and we tend to put patients in a subordinate role. But SPs are kind of resisting that subordinate role. You know, they're really exerting their agency, and it's in the service of patients,
right.
You know, so that's, they're pushing that agenda forward. And I think that we should help to empower patients, because we should, because that's what the job's all about. I'm a clinician, and to me, working in partnership with patients is a no-brainer. You know, that's what we should be doing in education, as in clinical life, but also for a very good educational reason, which is that SPs just instinctively know that assessment drives learning. You know, they just know that. And the potential in OSCEs for learning, particularly about kind of grey skills, so consultation skills, professionalism, that kind of thing, is huge. And SPs are really well positioned. So practically speaking, how can we best utilise that? Can we write stations where SPs are more involved? Can we look at how SPs give their feedback? Could they give, for example, some qualitative comments,
mm-hmm.
not just numbers? What ways could we actually utilise that? So that's one thing. I'd like to see the discourse shift a little bit from that relationship between the student and the doctor towards the student and the patient.
And I'll be curious to see the extent to which the observer, the examiner, reinforces that disconnect by virtue of...
Yes, well, yes, that's the next study, I
think.
I'm not quite there yet. Right. And the second thing, which I think is very important, is trying to look at OSCEs in a way that's a bit less simplistic. So we're so entrenched in our numbers. I did start by saying that I think the numbers are very important. But I think if you can manage to look behind the numbers, like anything, and work out why something is happening, that gives you a deeper understanding, and that then lets you use it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So can we move past a purely psychometric discourse, a kind of post-psychometric era? Can we look at different ways of valuing subjectivity? Maybe moving away from trying to make everything absolutely standardized, because it never is going to be, you know. I mean, this is such a complex and such a socially constructed entity that it is never going to be exactly standardized. So instead, moving towards working out where we're happy to draw the parameters. What kind of variability are we happy to accept? How can we best develop our assessments just to reflect some of that? So,
right.
And I think if we do that, that will be very helpful at moving the thinking.
Right. We've clearly thought very deeply and interestingly about a topic that sounds like it should be the focus of a PhD. So if your other theme goes awry, I'm sure you've got something to fall back on. Congratulations again. That's very interesting work, and I look forward to seeing how it continues.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I'll just finish by reminding the listeners that I've been speaking with Jenny Johnson from Queen's University in Belfast about a paper that she has coming out in the September 2013 issue of Medical Education. And it's entitled View from Over There, Reframing OSCEs Through Standardized Patients' Rater Experience. Thanks again for chatting with me.
Thanks, Kevin.